listener production.
From The Monthly and Listener, it's The Politics, written by Jonathan Green and read by me, Amanda Kopp. Today, CPAC to the rafters. It was a who's that of Australian conservative marginalia. Tony Abbott, Erica Betts, Amanda Stoker, even a beamed-in appearance from John Howard, like a hairless and shrunken Princess Leia reporting from somewhere deep in the Death Star. The weekend CPAC conference was proof of the drift of a small but resolute portion of Australian conservatism to a position somewhere on the fringes of political conversation, a place that seems to be in a circular and mutually gratifying relationship with a loud, conservative media sect. It's a universe comprised almost entirely of itself, certainly one divorced from what, on the evidence, is the inclination of the Australian voting majority towards a socially forward-looking centrism. You have to wonder whether the various right-wing pundits, claqueurs for an Americanized populist agenda that promotes individual liberty over climate action, wokeness, and other manifestations of socially respectful politics, are doing their hyper-conservative followers any favors. A fist-shaking anger at a world gone mad might work as a provocative brand of infotainment, although even that is moot given the ratings of Sky News Australia's various by-night manifestations. But the fatal flaw of such conservatives is, of course, that the world actually has embraced several of the social evils rejected in their routine agenda. Any politics that aligns itself with that lost universe seems not so much conservative as either wistfully nostalgic or willfully dystopian. But never mind reality. Feel the echo chamber. There was the Liberal Party's federal vice president, Tina McQueen, celebrating the defeat of Liberal lefties at the last election, a purging that may have seen the loss of seats such as Goldstein and Kooyong, but had also put paid to unreconstructed tankies like Josh Frydenberg and Tim Wilson. Quote, "The good thing about the last federal election is that a lot of those lefties are gone. We should rejoice in that. People I've been trying to get rid of for a decade have gone. We need to renew with good conservative candidates," said McQueen. What the broader party makes of a senior official who apparently makes electoral defeat her priority remains a mystery. But McQueen and others, like defeated Senate candidate Amanda Stoker, seem resolute in their desire to push their party rightward, regardless of the evidence provided by electoral arithmetic, or, for that matter, the apparent instinct of its current parliamentary leadership. Quiet Australian may just be another name for Liberal MP. Too many Liberals showed willingness to just go along with the cultural movements they didn't truly believe in because they weren't willing to take on the zeitgeist. They were too afraid of being called a nasty name to speak up, Stoker told the conference. But all of these atmospherics aside, the conference's most avidly debated topic was the vexed notion of a First Nations voice to Parliament. The voice would institutionalise discrimination, according to Tony Abbott. To Coalition Senator and Walpiri woman Jacinta Price, it would be an enshrinement of racial separatism. It is with Senator Price's contribution that we should sit up and take notice, providing evidence as it does, that there is considerable difference of opinion within Indigenous Australia around the voice and the issues it raises. The weekend also saw a leading member of the Albanese government's Indigenous Voice Referendum Working Group, Professor Marcia Langton, take issue with the position expressed by Green Senator Lydia Thorpe that the promised voice referendum was a, quote, waste of money. This conversation will presumably continue to unfold among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the referendum approaches. Never mind the extensive work toward formulating a consensus position that was at the very heart of and background to the 2017 Uluru Statement, or the extensive consultation that lies behind the voice discussion paper prepared by Langton and Professor Tom Calmer. It's here we see the moral significance of the apparently anodyne referendum question suggested by Anthony Albanese at the Garma Festival in July. Do you support an alteration to the Constitution that establishes an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice? A referendum, by the simple logic of population, will overwhelmingly be a poll of non-Indigenous Australians, faced with a simple but profound and nation-changing choice. The Prime Minister, despite the clamouring from some quarters for detail, is right to keep the question simple. Yes or no? What more can settler Australia say? The nature of the voice, its parameters, processes, and claim on sovereign judgment is surely an issue for Indigenous Australia, and not something to be blasted apart at a Conservative conference or parsed in a vote of largely non-Indigenous Australians. If settler Australia truly means this moment to be a serious turning in a process of truth, reconciliation, and restored and acknowledged sovereignty, it needs to step back and let that conversation take place. This is work that appears well in hand. Elsewhere in politics, to today's Good Opinion. Surveying the early months of the Albanese government, Nine columnist Sean Kelly says its challenges have been simplified by the vacuum left by the Morrison government. He adds that Liberal frontbencher Jane Hume's recent statement on the ABC's Insiders, "We don't have policies," where an opposition, was both absurd and accurate. And to our bad opinion, columnist Andrew Bolt takes issue with King Charles III's continuing commitment to combating climate change as the monarch shelves plans to make a speech at the coming COP27 meeting, apparently on the advice of British Prime Minister Liz Truss. The number today is 22, which is the percentage of Australians polled who support the retention of the contentious Stage 3 tax cuts, according to research by the Australia Institute. Of the 1,409 people surveyed, 41% believe the cuts should be repealed. And to today's policy, in the lead-up to November's state election, the Victorian Greens will commit to building 200,000 affordable and public homes, with party leader Samantha Ratnam saying the major parties have given up on addressing the housing crisis due to their relationships with developers. And in today's episode of 7am, Nigel Farage, the pornographer, and their weird Australian tour. Nigel Farage has become increasingly irrelevant in British politics, but here he's commanding speaking fees and being given a hero's welcome by Sky News presenters and One Nation politicians. It could be a cynical, money-grabbing exercise, a play for political influence in Australia, or both. Listen to 7am on the Listener app now. And that is The Politics for October 3rd. Subscribe to The Politics on the Listener app to hear new episodes as soon as they drop. And head to themonthly.com.au to subscribe to The Politics newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox every weekday afternoon. The Politics podcast will be back again tomorrow. Talk to you then.